It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The fact that our last two presidential elections have not been accepted as legitimate by large percentages of the American public is a serious problem that threatens our republic.
I'm concerned that today's hearing will do more harm than good by confusing a few anecdotes about human error with the insidious claims the president has erred.
I just have to point out that the purveyors of Russian disinformation, Hillary Clinton's campaign, the DNC, the Steele dossier, the ranking member Peters accusing Senator Grassley and I of disseminating Russian disinformation, that's where the disinformation is coming.
Mr. Chairman, I got to respond to that. I mean, you're saying I'm putting out information. Well, one, I had nothing to do with this report.
You lied repeatedly.
I did not.
You lied repeatedly in the press that I was spreading Russian disinformation, and that was an outright lie, and I told you to stop lying, and you continue to do it.
Mr. Chairman, this is not about airing your grievances. I don't know what rabbit hole you're running down.
You talked about Russian disinformation. Senator Paul.
This is simply not what we're dealing with.
Senator Paul.
That was the way it went down yesterday in the Senate, and it was good to hear arguments in the Senate. How I long for that. There are lots of things to fight over right now, and we'd better be fighting. I want to talk about Ron Johnson first. Ron Johnson is the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, and they're the ones that held the hearing on what happened with our elections. They brought forward several witnesses. We're going to play excerpts in just a second. But the ranking member is the Democrat, Gary Peters from Michigan. You may remember that John James nearly defeated Gary Peters, and maybe even did defeat Gary Peters from all we know. We don't know. How would we know with all the chicanery that's been happening with these elections? So Gary Peters was in full form. I don't think I've ever heard him speak that much, I guess because there's just so much to hear. But I realize that he is really very much like the model of Democrats and Republicans, but I'll choose Democrats right now, who serve in the Senate, who are incredible prevaricators. I used to listen to Dick Durbin. I was worked for his Al Salvi, challenged him for Senate years ago in Illinois, and I worked on Al Salvi's campaign, and that's the first time we'd ever heard of Dick Durbin. And I realized right away what a great liar he was. So good. So good. And even though Al had the facts, Dick was just a great liar, and that's Gary Peters was really impressive yesterday in his ability to twist things. So he and Ron Johnson got into it. Johnson set the platform for why this hearing, and this is what he said, clip two.
Well, the goal of the hearing, contrary to what Senator Peters said, was to really try and resolve the suspicions around the election. We are in an unsustainable state of affairs in this country where you have large percentage of the American population starting in 2016. You know, how many millions just simply would never accept the legitimacy of President Trump? And now fast forward, their guy wins. There are all kinds of legitimate concerns, irregularities that we need answers to. And the Democrats just want to sweep it under the rug. They called the hearing dangerous. No, I'm just trying to gather information, acknowledge that problem. And it is a serious problem when you don't have confidence, when such a high number of Americans don't have confidence in the legitimacy of the election. That's a problem we need to solve.
Okay,
only way you solve it is with transparency and honest information. I think we made some real progress. You know, most of the hearing was actually very civil. I think we had, you know, Chris Krebs came. He was a Democrat witness, but I reached out to him. I actually wanted him as a witness myself. But he came, he talked. He's done some good work at CISA. But we also had attorneys for President Trump from Wisconsin, from Nevada. We had Ken Starr. These people had some good information to provide the committee for our legitimate oversight so that we can solve these problems and restore confidence in our electoral system.
All right, so that's that was an interview that he did after the hearing, Senator Johnson. And I just found there are so many parts of it, but let me just say that I thought the testimony was excellent, and I thought Senator Johnson did an excellent job. But and it was refreshing. It was refreshing to have somebody actually fighting back in the Senate, and very refreshing since Mitch McConnell said what he said earlier this week. In fact, let's re-listen to what Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had to say. Clip 7.
Yesterday, electors met in all 50 states. So as of this morning, our country has officially a president-elect and a vice president-elect. Many millions of us had hoped the presidential election would yield a different result. But our system of government has processes to determine who will be sworn in on January the 20th. The Electoral College has spoken. So today I want to congratulate President-elect Joe Biden. The president-elect is no stranger to the Senate. He's devoted himself to public service for many years. I also want to congratulate the Vice President-elect, our colleague from California, Senator Harris. Beyond our differences, all Americans can take pride that our nation has a female Vice President-elect for the very first time.
Isn't that grand? That's really the thing we live for, is to have a female, a minority, a white person, a short person, a tall person serving on our behalf. That's very important, Senator McConnell. And, of course, what he did not say is that the challenges are overwhelming in these various states. The people understand what's going on, and they are mad. They're furious. I hear this from state leaders all over. I talked to one in Arizona, one in Wisconsin just yesterday. People are furious because they know this is not true. These hearings have been taking place in various states with highly credible witnesses who have sworn to tell the truth for fear of perjury. It's just, and so, one of the things that came out in the hearing, Ron Johnson made very clear, I don't think I have time to play this clip, but he was asked about, there's nothing to this, all these allegations, there's no proof. And he points out very clearly that the reason we, as a nation, I haven't heard that there are any specific allegations, is that the courts have refused to hear the evidence. They have rejected just about every single challenge on the basis of procedure or technicality, not on the basis of the merits of the case. They have not, I don't think there's a single court that has actually stopped and listened to the evidence. Maybe there was maybe one out west who allowed testimony, but that's the only one that I know of. And so with that, this is what we're facing. The various states, remember there are 7 that have convened alternate electors for President Trump. So that they are on hold for that January 6th meeting of Congress, 7th I think it is, where they will actually convene to accept or reject the electors. So in those states, what needs to happen is that those states need to call for meetings of their legislatures to determine which slate of electors they're going to send to D.C., Now, that's an uphill battle, but that's part of the plan. Sorry, I'm losing my voice again this morning. But that is really, that's part of it. But then that's not all. Then when Congress meets on January the 7th, as we have described before, they will meet to hear, have the electors presented. And actually, it's Vice President Pence who will be presenting that information and the electors to both houses in a joint session. Now, all we need is one congressman and one senator to reject or refuse to accept the electors as presented. We already have 3 congressmen, but what we lack is a senator. We lack a senator. I don't think it's going to be Mitch McConnell. What do you think? I think, he got his. That's what I think. He got elected, and that's fine with him. And I really don't think he cares if he's my majority or minority leader, because he still has that great leather chair and all the benefits and influence. So that's really how cynical I am. I've always been cynical about him, but now my cynicism has been revived. So this is what I want to share with you. First of all, I read this to you yesterday. This is a quote by one of our founding fathers, Samuel Adams. "If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or your arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen." That's Sam Adams. And actually, that is going to be on an initiative that I'm part of to contact our senators. And I want to tell you what it is. We have a letter that we're sending. Here's what the letter sounds like. It's an open letter to the Republican Senate caucus. We write you on behalf of the millions of American voters who were convinced that the 2020 presidential election was neither free nor fair. We are furious that the voluminous evidence of systematic fraud has been systematically suppressed. And we demand that, before the result of the Electoral College vote is certified, such evidence must be presented to and considered by the United States Congress. For that to happen, you must do your duty and object to the slates of electors for the contested states. We expect and will accept nothing less. You are clearly under pressure from the Senate Republican leadership not to object. By the way, that's, I'm sorry, I'm going to diverge because we know from a phone call that Senator McConnell had with Republican senators that he was encouraging them not to object. We can't do that. It would put, if we had to have a vote on that, it would make all of our caucus look bad if they don't vote. If they vote to accept these electors, it will look like they're anti-Trump, and that would be bad. So that's what we're talking about there. Were you to, you are clearly under pressure from the Senate Republican leadership not to object. Were you to capitulate to such pressure, however, you are on notice as you are leaders, as are your leaders, that we will view your acquiescence to the fraud-enabled theft of this presidential race as adding insult to gross injury of our being disenfranchised. In that event, you will be held personally accountable for the predictable consequences, which include the evisceration of our governing institutions, the end of elections that are honest and competitive, and the ascendancy of oppressive forces that will deprive us of our God-given unalienable rights and mutate our country beyond recognition, and almost certainly beyond recovery. We anticipate that Americans who voted for President Trump will not again vote for Republicans who are party to the theft of his reelection by virtue of failing to seek and ensure the public is made aware of the truth about this fraud-racked presidential race. For all these reasons, you must do your duty and object on January the 6th. And if you would like to sign on to that, that's the reason I read it, because I think you might want to. And I think you might want to share it with other people. You can go to freeroots.com/go/senators-stand-your-ground. I'm going to read that to you again. We'll put it on our Facebook page, and I will slow down. Okay, have you got a pencil? Go to freeroots.com/go/senators-stand-your-ground. freeroots.com/go/senators-stand-your-ground. Okay? And I think it's very important. This is where we have to hit. I can't believe, I am so disgusted by their cowardice. It's like the Supreme Court. I cannot believe, you know, the only way we're going to lose President Trump as our president and have Kamala Harris and Joe Biden leading us with all of the incredibly horrible cabinet picks he's making, the wheels are most certainly going to come off the bus of this great country. It amazes me, and yet I see it in my inbox daily, that people who were perceived as conservatives, conservative leaders, writers, attorneys with famous names and positions, are just yawning at this unfolding, just yawning. I read one yesterday who said, you know, is Joe Biden such a threat that people are willing to go, you know, into D.C. and be stabbed to stop him from being president? That's from a conservative. That was actually from David French, who was a Christian conservative. Yeah, so that's what we're doing here. Joe Biden is actually kind of a nice guy, right? That's what he's indicating here. But we know better than that, and we see who he's appointing. I haven't talked too much about that because I've been trying to concentrate on what we can do to stop this. But this is what you can do. Go to freeroots.com/go/senators-stand-your-ground and make your voice heard and share that. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The The reality of abortion is changing. The abortion industry is targeting vulnerable women even earlier in their pregnancies than ever before.
Because of this change, we need to be there sooner. That's what ICU Mobile is all about. By showing a mother her baby by ultrasound on our mobile medical units right where she lives, we see 4 out of 5 women choose life.
There is a way to combat abortion right on the ground. Join us at ICU Mobile, the pioneer of mobile medical ministry. We go serve women, go save lives, and go share Christ right in the communities where abortion is happening at the greatest rates all across the country.
4 of 5 women see their ultrasound in our mobile units and choose life. Visit us now at icumobile.org to make a life-saving contribution. Or text LIVES to 45777. That's LIVES to 45777.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Dr. Neil Jacobs, Undersecretary of Commerce for Oceans and Atmosphere. Dr. Jacobs is responsible for advancing U.S. weather modeling and prediction, space innovation, and oceanic study. Psalm 104:25 reminds us that the oceans are God's creation. There is the sea, great and broad, in which are swarms without number, animals both small and great. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Dr. Neil Jacobs in his study of the oceans. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Create a heartfelt holiday message to send to the President and his family. It's a special Christmas greeting from your family to the First Family. It's free at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. A professor at the University of Cincinnati has been placed on leave after he called the Chinese virus the Chinese virus. Professor John Uecker was removed from the classroom for the remainder of the semester. A student complained that he had used the words Chinese virus in an email. The student posted a screenshot of the email on Twitter and, you can figure out what happened next. The University of Cincinnati launched an investigation. They determined Professor Uecker had violated their non-discrimination policy. They said while the term Chinese virus did not meet the threshold to be designated harassment, it did represent poor judgment and caused a student to be offended. And there's a very real possibility the professor may never return to the school. Now, the great irony here is that a good many diseases are named after people or places. I wonder what the University of Cincinnati is going to do to the professor who teaches the kids about Spanish flu or Crohn's disease. I'm Todd Starnes.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the morning.
Sandy Rios with you, and it's Thursday, and I always open the phone lines, and we're going to do that, but I want to share a few more things with you. AFA has switched to a different platform because you know what's happening. I don't have to explain to you that. Remember, I told you that Act for America has been shut out from social media, and they've been actually cut off from being able to get donations. It's just amazing, and this is happening to a lot of organizations. And as a precautionary, we are switching to a different platform, at least expanding. We are now on Parler, and you can go there, and all you have to do is search for American Family Association by name, so that's easy. Also, we are on Gab. I'm not familiar with Gab yet, but I will be. And that's if you go to AFR American Family Radio, it would be gab.com/American Family Radio. gab.com/American Family Radio or gab.com/American Family. So, well, it's FAM, A-S-S-C. Those are hard because it's hard to remember exactly. But you can remember American Family Radio. So we'll put those on our Facebook page. Remember, we're in Parler now, and you just look for American Family Association there, and you can find us, and then also in Gab. So I will repeat that at some point, but I want you to know that right up front. We've had a lot of interesting email from you and Facebook posts, and I'm going to start in on those as I tell you that if you have something to share this morning that's important, something you've seen, some question that you have, some comment or observation that's salient, you can call us at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. This is from Sam. Last week, we interviewed the restaurant owner of Spangler's Restaurant in Michigan, and he is just desperate. He's ignored the governor's orders because he's going under, and he's just taken out a huge loan to remodel. It was really just one of the other one of those stories that just is so upsetting. They do have takeout. So Sam, who is from Mississippi, actually called in orders to Spangler's. And he said the lady was very nice, and I encouraged him to fight and keep working. I ordered the American Freedom and Molon Lab, a.k.a. Come and Take Them combo. It was delicious. We need to support courageous patriots. So, again, that's Spangler's in, I can't remember which part in Michigan, Devon, Jonesville, Michigan. So give them a call and order some food. I think that would be just a wonderful thing to do. All right, so this is from... Teresa, and I'm going to give you some examples. I give you other examples of things I read in the papers or see, you know, on television people, but these are you, our listeners. This is from Teresa. She is in, I'm not sure where she lives, but she said, I wanted to tell you that we, meaning her husband and she, who they own a small business, a trucking company in rural West Virginia. I want to tell you that we have gotten turned down 4 times for any CARES Act help. My husband almost died from COVID in November, and he will not get back to work until mid-January at best. And he didn't even qualify for PUA, which that must be another of the aids that they're giving. We're giving. We're getting our third and last $4,000 loan from my mother in 2 weeks. And if things get worse in January and February, we will have to close. I'm 51 and he's 55. I'm not sure what we'll do. I'm trusting God in God because he's never failed me. I'm a licensed hairdresser, but I'm afraid if I open my salon, I'll be shut down. What are small business owners to do? Yeah, Teresa, the only thing I would say to you, well, I'll say a lot of things to you, but practical, is there are businesses like the Spangler Restaurant and other places that are refusing to close down, and they're trying to organize other businesses like them, sort of like a mass resistance, because if everyone refuses to close down, then the authorities have a lot more trouble cracking down. So I'm not sure what you have to lose, because that's terrible advice. I shouldn't give that advice. But you might, that's what others are doing. I'm just saying that. As far as your husband and your situation and trusting God, of course, we trust God, but that does not take away from the desperation. I can't stand this. I can't stand this. This is why we fight, because this is the future of the middle class. Right now, Teresa and her husband are on the front lines of this. But I'm telling you, pretty much all of you are middle class, I'm guessing. I don't know if there are any millionaires listening to us, or multimillionaires or billionaires. I doubt it. Maybe so. Of course, we're way too plain people for people like that, I think. But the middle class will be the object of wrath, and that's why, one of the reasons I fight so hard. So I was going to pray for her. I just threw that down. I think it's Teresa. I want to pray for you, Patricia. I just pray. For them in West Virginia, I pray that you would protect them, Father, and answer their prayers. Hear their cry for help. And I pray that help would come. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. This is from Andy. She is in Arkansas, and I won't say what she does, but she said that, I wish I could share your post, but I got a final warning at work from my political and religious posts that I share. If I share anything that could be seen as confrontational, I will be fired. One of the posts was a simple picture that said all lives matter, and they said it was discriminatory against Black Lives Matter. Censorship is everywhere. Yeah, so, Nandy, yes, and that's our future also. And that's what we cannot abide. We are a free people. We are a free people. Our founding fathers, that, you know, their blood courses in our veins. They came here to be free. They knew what oppression was like, and they fought. They gave their lives and their fortunes so that we could be free. And surely we can fight now to maintain that for our children, can't we? Yes, we can. All right, this is from Sherry. On the bright side of things, Sherry is from close to Richmond. She said, I totally agree that children would be better off together in school, but parents like myself are finding out so much about what was happening in the classroom that I believe this virtual learning has been a real blessing. As a single mother having to stay home and do the virtual learning with her disabled daughter, she's has special needs, it has been hard. But what I have learned and the changes I'm implementing are worth it. So let's count our few blessings during these trials. Well, that's great, Sherry. I'm glad it's been beneficial to you. I don't doubt there have been some good things. And you're right, we need to think about the good things too. But I'm not willing to think about those good things. I don't like that linger because it may have been helpful in isolated cases. But I think overall it's been very detrimental. So, but I appreciate that good story. This is cute. This is from Jim. He said, he sends me a picture of a mask, one of those little blue ones, you know, that everybody has with the perforated, like, edges. And it's formed into an angel. It's formed into an angel standing by a candle, and I love it. Jim, that's really cute. Thank you. And this is from a Reverend Ian. I don't give last names for a reason, but he's from Arkansas also. He said, I've been listening to AFR religiously. I think that's kind of funny that you said that. Since August, and I spent days starting in September in prayer for corruption to be exposed and expelled and for Christians to have backbone. And here's the message that I'd like to get out for people that might be depressed. Knowing that the Electoral College voted for Biden and Harris, we have to remember God is still in control. He has a plan, and he's going to bring good into this. What's going to happen and when it's going to happen, I don't have an answer for, but he's got it. I'm going to give your last name, Pastor, Reverend Ian Trinkle, and he's in Centerton, Arkansas. God bless you, Ian, for listening, and I really appreciate it. I think, excuse me, boy, bad voice, sorry. Yes, what you said is true. Nothing happens apart from God's permission. He allows it. There's no question about that. And I do not think that you obviously, from the context you gave, are not saying don't do anything. But ultimately, yes, what's on the other side of this will be because God allowed it. And so we're either going to win, I can tell you this, we're either going to win, or those of us that know Jesus are going to see God's glory in such ways we've never experienced it before. I likely will say a lot more about that in the future, if things don't go well, but right now I just want to plant that seed. You're going to have more of him as you have less of this stuff on this earth and less of the luxuries, the good, wonderful lives that we've had. As us, that leaves us, we're going to see more of God if we choose to obey him, to love him, to praise him, like our other listener did, who is thankful for the things she's learned about her disabled daughter and their instruction. We will see good things, and we will, I guarantee you, based on my lots of experience with people in other countries who've been persecuted for their faith, we will never want to go back once we've seen more of him. So that's what's going to happen if we lose this thing. Now, I'm going to have some grieving to do, but I'm not there yet because I'm not giving up yet. All right, this is from Jake. Jake says, Sandy, you need to either get your facts straight or retire. As conservatives, we need to be careful to be accurate and concise with the news. You are neither. It's as if you're reading news that is handed to you each morning for the first time. Do your homework or retire. Well, Jake, thank you for that encouragement. I wanted to read that because you probably think all of the email I get are so rosy, but they are not. Jake, I make some mistakes sometimes, but I can't think of any time that I've made a mistake that I have not corrected it. You know, I'm a one-woman show here, and I do all my own research and pull the clips, and it's a lot to assimilate. So sometimes, yeah, you're right. So I wish I had more time, like more hours, because I already spend hours. I would like to know what you think I got inaccurate. That's interesting to me that you didn't give me an example, because I'd like to know. And this is from, let's see. This is from Stephanie. Maybe now that psychotic Trump and his misguided schizophrenic lawyer Giuliani has lost in the lawsuit at the Supreme Court level, maybe now you and all of his misled followers will find a cliff to fall off of. Wow, Stephanie, that's lovely, lovely encouragement. I guess it's, at least you're being honest about how you feel, but here's the problem, Stephanie, that when the events and policies that are about to hit us, those of the left, are implemented, the problem is that you're going to go off that cliff with us. If you think you are immune from economic collapse, from poverty and devastation, from lack of services, from subjection to foreign powers, if you think that you won't be affected when you cannot say what you think anymore, when you're shut out, because, you know, things are, but maybe you don't understand. Maybe you're young and you don't know any of this stuff. But when totalitarians take control, everyone is suspect and there will be problems. So welcome to the cliff and I'll hold hands with you as we fall off. But that's actually why I fight. All right, so that's enough. I want to go back to the phones and or to the phones for the first time. And let's go to Steve in Arkansas. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Sandy. Point of call reference to the Supreme Court and their refusal to hear the Trump case, okay? In the 18th century, there was a man named John Locke, and he made the statement. He said, when human courts fail, we reserve the right to appeal to heaven. There was actually the original flag of the United States of America. It was called Appeal to Heaven. It has the word Appeal to Heaven written on it. It has an evergreen tree on it, which in reference to the everlasting covenant that has to do that was made with Abraham. Now, I don't want to chew up too much time on that. There was a man named Dutch Sheets. He wrote a book called Appeal to Heaven. We actually, in Arkansas, they had it fly over the Capitol at one time. We were going to fly over the courthouse in Hope, Arkansas, but a lawyer said he would sue, and they withdrew the idea. My point is this, that in my view, the Supreme Court has abdicated the Constitution. They have failed in their role of truth, and therefore they have failed heaven, and therefore we reserve the right to appeal to heaven. George Patton said this. He said, moral courage is the most needed and the most absent of all virtues. And if you do not have a Bible worldview, you will not be strong, you will not be of good courage, and then you will not get the benefits of the truth because Jesus said, my word is truth. You're better to die brave than to live yellow. Thank you for your time.
Well said, Steve. Thank you very much. I love those kinds of things. I have all on my microphone each morning. I've got all kinds of sayings that speak to me. Like for this one, what reminds me of what you just said. The greatest want of the world is the want of men who will not be bought or sold, men who in their inmost souls are true and honest, men who do not fear to call sin by its right name, men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole, men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. And that's the kind of men we need. We have some of those men. We have some of those people. A lot of them are my friends. And so I just want to say, don't be discouraged. I think there's great freedom in standing up. There's tremendous freedom in that. Trust me, I've been on that path before. And I want to read you what Sam Adams said again. I'm doing this again. If you love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not for your counsels or your arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. All right, it's time. It really is. It's time for the sheep and the wolves, and that's why I'm asking you to contact your senators. That quote is on there, and then there's that great letter I read earlier. It's an open letter to the senators to stop listening to Mitch McConnell and the leadership and do what's right. And you can sign on to that letter and send this to your senators at freeroots.com/go/senators-stand-your-ground. freeroots.com/go/senators-stand-your-ground. Okay, we'll be right back and back to the phone line. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
It was an unlikely hit movie, Home Alone. But now it's a classic, 30 years later. Its title hits home this year. Many are facing a lonely Christmas. And I'm Charles Morris, and all week, I want to remind all of us that with Jesus, we're never truly alone. Join me for a Haven Today series this week, not Home Alone.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. These words were shared between Cleopas and his companion on the 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus as Jesus, in resurrected form, used the Hebrew scriptures to reveal himself to them as the Messiah. There are at least 109 distinct biblical prophecies the Messiah had to fulfill. The mathematical probability of such a feat occurring is astoundingly absurd, yet that absurdity is satisfied in Jesus, the Messiah. Come, let us adore him.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner. For more, from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
His father and mother did not know it was from the Lord, for he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. Brian Fisher with the Life and Liberty Minute. That verse is from the story of Samson, the man God had chosen to liberate his people from bondage. Samson was a strong-willed child with a father too weak to correct him. He married a raw pagan out of lust rather than love. He broke every vow he had made to the Lord, and in a fit of rage beat 1,000 men to death at one time with the jawbone of a donkey. Now, God likely did not approve of a single thing Samson did, yet he used all of Samson's glaring weaknesses in the end to enable Samson at last to fulfill the purpose God had for his life. God is still sovereign in human affairs. It is his will which will be done in the end. He uses even our worst to accomplish his best. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 1:05 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is best known as the leader of a radical House micro-caucus dubbed the Squad. Emboldened by the prospect of a like-minded presidency, its members are increasingly, brazenly pushing a revolutionary anti-America agenda that warrants calling them henceforth the Four Herodians of the Apocalypse. AOC made news yesterday by endorsing a purge of the Congressional Democratic leadership. No surprise there. She's been pushing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi around for 2 years and long been expected to primary Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer in 2022. Requiring urgent repudiation, though, is AOC's call for a list of Trump supporters targeted for retaliation. Ditto Ilhan Omar's radical program for a Biden-Harris administration's first 100 days, Rashida Tlaib's Muslim Brotherhood-endorsed calls for trashing Trump's successful Middle East policy, and Ayanna Pressley's demands for open borders. We must thwart these truly apocalyptic ambitions. This is Frank Gaffney.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
It's Sandy Rios with you, and Merry Christmas. You know, it is Christmas time. I have to say, Handel's Messiah still thrills me. And because it takes us, it's like when you think about when Stephen was stoned, Stephen was in terrible peril personally, physically, because he knew they were going to kill him, and they're furious. And they're all seething with rage to him. They take him out, they pull out these big rocks, and they're getting ready to throw them. But rather than being anxious and worried, Stephen looks up to the heavens and his face shone because he saw God's glory. And the stones, I don't even know if Stephen felt the stones. He was the first martyr in the early church. And I don't want to say magic, because I don't want to use that word. I'd see only, some people that have never experienced the Holy Spirit, maybe that's the way they could understand it. But the Holy Spirit empowers us in ways that are just supernatural. And so why do I say this in the context of the Messiah? Because when Handel wrote this, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit was so incredible. And when by the time you hear all the Old Testament Isaiah passages of that, he shall give his angels, I can't even think. I'm trying to hurry too much. But when you hear all the buildup to the Messiah and the prophecies, and then when you remember through these songs what he did, when they get to the Hallelujah chorus, that's why the people, the first time they heard it, they leapt to their feet. Those staid British audiences, which are not known to do that, jumped to their feet with a thrill of, I think, the bolt of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just saying, this is where we look. Our eyes are toward heaven, to the redemption of the Savior, which we have. A Savior has come to the world. Thank God we have a Savior. So I want to make sure I say that to you this morning as I'm, you know, droning my way through the difficulties of life. But that's absolutely true. All right, I want to go to the phones because I want to hear from you. Let's go to Mark in Kentucky. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. You are amazing. And it's because of the Spirit of the living God that lives in you. And I'm so thankful that when I can tune in each day, as we get closer to the last opportunity, I hear the only news source I tune into is talk radio. And I am so disappointed with some of the other in your field that have just kind of, as you mentioned earlier, you know, well, we just kind of got to accept this and go with it. No, we need to stand up and fight. And when you look at someone like, and I'm so disgusted being from the state of Kentucky, that the Senator Mitch McConnell, but I'm not surprised that his true colors have been revealed as he stands up there and he goes with the flow and he has business interests in China and all this stuff. The truth, it's the truth that sets us free. And you are there proclaiming that truth, and you help us to understand the possibility that exists. And I so pray to God that the other people that represent us people would be enlivened by that Holy Spirit and they would do the right thing like Ron Johnson and some of the others that just won't stand for it anymore because it's been going on for so long. Mitch McConnell has probably been reelected multiple times because of that system, because we were part of the Ditch Mitch campaign to get the guy who ended up being our governor for a short time.
Matt Bevin.
To this state.
Yep.
Yeah, Matt Bevin, eyeball to eyeball. That man was amazing.
Yes.
But yet, I don't think the people of Kentucky elected little Andy, who's running an iron fist over our state right now, ruining so many businesses. So I just wanted to thank you, Stanley, and keep doing what you're doing. And we'll get out there. I can't wait to go sign that thing. I tried to contact Mitch's office this morning. His mailbox is full. But we have got to stand firm as the Word of God tells us to do so.
Yep. Amen and amen. Mark, thanks. That was great. Thank you so much. Let's go to Jerry in Texas. Good morning, Jerry. You watched the hearing yesterday?
Good morning. Yes, ma'am. I have the fortunate ability to be able to watch quite a bit of things and listen to your show and a few others. I'm retired 20-plus years out of the military. My wife works as a doctor in an ER locally here in Texas where we live. So I enjoy, by the blessings of God above, a life of being able to spend more time with my family, kids we had later in life. So I have four children, and we send them to a well-established Christian school, but that doesn't, as Abraham Hamilton says, doesn't dissolve me of my full-time job in the afternoon of rearing them in the Lord's will. So I guess my point is, like you said earlier, it is nice to see that the Senate held those hearings. And, of course, as usual, one side parodies just move on. The other side is actually willing, even after the last election in 2016, to take the hearings, to do something. My fear is after serving in the military and in a government institution for 20 plus years, very little will happen from the hearing. As many people know and have stated even on this show, the courts aren't willing to do much. And as the gentleman says, once the courts resolve not to do anything, you know, what is our next step to do but go to heaven and ask for a petition from the Heavenly Father? The other thing is that I guess I'm not weak or weary and struggling, spend more time in the Bible and try to disseminate truth to those that don't want to hear it. Unfortunately, we know that the Bible says God gives ears to those to hear and eyes to those to see, and that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And we can go on and on and on. I guess my frustration is that, as you said, I've tried locally on a local level to disseminate the truth and support those that are willing in government to do the truth. It's just, I guess, disheartening at times, because if you don't have the money, there's nothing that can be done, because obviously, you know, people are more now lovers of money than they are of truth.
Yeah. Jerry, let me jump in, because I want to encourage you with something, because this is something I've had to learn. It's made me kind of stubborn. We have a stubborn God, and you will remember. In fact, maybe when we hang up, you'll want to today look at Ezekiel. By the way, thank you for all those things that you shared about your life and your service and what you're doing with your kids. It's very admirable. So you do have some time, and you are dripping out the truth, it sounds like. Remember what God said to Ezekiel. He said, you know, son of, I think he said son of man. I think he called him that. Whether you're going to be talking to a people who are not willing to listen. Their hearts are hard. But whether they listen or they don't listen, you must speak the truth. Whether they listen or they don't listen, you must speak the truth. He says it over and over and over again. So, Jerry, that's your mission. It's my mission. Whether they listen or they don't listen, you must speak the truth. And I'm going to let you go because I want to tell one more story. Thank you so much. When I was in Russia, and it was before the Soviet Union broke up, and I was doing interviews in Moscow for 2 weeks, I interviewed all kinds of people, ballerinas, neurologists, the head of KGB English language programming, and I could go on and on. And each one of them, and there were so many interviews, each one of them told me that even though Russia had been brainwashed their people to believe there was no God, and trust me, it worked. They believed there was no God. I saw it in their faces, their stunned faces, when they told me that they were beginning to think, this is what the neurologist said to me, Clara Lebedinskaya, but we are beginning to think that maybe there is a God. That's what she said to me. And how did she know that? How did they even know? Because every single one of them told me, every single one, that they had a grandmother who whispered to them and told them about God. And they thought that wasn't true, but they were now beginning to entertain the notion. So I'm just saying, whether they listen or they don't listen, you must speak the truth. We have no idea what God has in mind to do with that truth that you're sharing, even if you don't see any response. All right, I want to go to Carol in Louisiana. Good morning, Carol.
Hi, I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Listen, Sandy, I have a friend here who owns a small business, and she happens to be from Venezuela. And when she heard the word dominion, her heart stopped. She told me that her dad had owned a coffee company in Venezuela, and when the Maduro regime came in, thanks to dominion, they took his money, his land, and his livelihood. She sent her dad some money for the very basics, and she has to go through a very circuitous route. What I want to know is, are they still going to use those Dominion machines in this upcoming election in Georgia? And what about Mitch McConnell's Chinese wife? Thank you.
All right, Carol, I'll see if I can respond to that. Thank you. What interesting information. So this is what we're hearing from a lot of Venezuelans, that the same warnings about Dominion. And we certainly, many of us that watched what's going on in the world, saw Maduro come to power. It was just horrific. And we saw the people in the streets fighting back, and we watched that they started starving to death, and as they couldn't get medicine, and they couldn't get diapers. And I mean, we watched this. Venezuela, like the richest country in South America with all those oil fields. How did that happen? The people were in the streets, they were fighting, and they made no traction. Because I told you, the communists learned to take power through the democratic system. And make no mistake about it, that is what's happening here. They learned not to do it through armed revolution, where they arm themselves and go in the streets and start killing people. They did it through the democratic process, and this is what's happening to us. So, yes, they're going to be using Dominion software in Georgia. I was told, assured, that there's nothing they could do to stop that. It was just too late. I've been told also by so-called experts that there was nothing to that. There's just no proof that Dominion was a problem. This is the kind of opposition that we're getting, some of us, from people who are supposed to be on our side. But trust me, they don't all feel that way. Sidney Powell's on my side. I'm on her side. I'll put it that way. I think she's spot on, honest. I don't doubt it. And listen to the story that Carol just told us. So no more time for that conversation. Let's go to Eric in Arkansas. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Sandy.
Okay, so what's on your mind? Yes. So okay, what's on your mind?
Did you listen to the rally in Georgia? There was a senator that came on. He spoke about people saying, it's okay, God's in control. And he said, well, yeah, God's in control, but if you stand there with a shovel and you pray for a hole, you're not going to get a hole.
I didn't hear that, but that's my kind of guy. That's my kind of pastor.
I'm telling you something. That's exactly what I mean. And there are going to be people, Christians, that are going to say, it's okay, God's in control, just pray. No, you have to act. I'm a retired Marine. I've called you before about DuckDuckGo.
Yes.
I've got a BS, Bachelor of Science, and a Master's in Business. This is crazy. Get out and do something. It's about making things happen, not waiting for things to happen.
Yes, amen to that, Eric. I'm in that camp, too. That was a hard lesson for me to learn, but I learned it. I learned that taking action, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that somehow our theology has caused us to be very passive about what we do. And I think it's time for that to go. And I wish I had more time to expand on that, but I appreciate you commenting on that. Thanks so much. Let's go to Jennifer in Texas. Good morning, Jennifer. Quickly, if you can.
Hi, Sandy. Thank you so much for everything you're doing to keep this issue at the forefront. I'll start by saying I'm a millennial. I'm from Canada, so I am an immigrant to the United States. And I am so grateful that I know the Lord, because I would be just beside myself right now seeing what's going on with this great country. I'm fearful. I just had my second child. I have read history books. I know what could be coming for us if we don't stand up and fight and act right now. And I'm so grateful to you and others that are willing to fight. If there's nothing to see here with anything, great, but I just think the evidence is too compelling, and we need to just flesh this thing out and get to the bottom of it, or we will never have a free and fair election again. And I worry about what will happen to this country for my children.
Yes. Well, I do too, Jennifer. I feel the same thing for my kids, my grandchildren, and for my friends, and even for my opponents, because I don't think they understand. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was pretty angry about some things that were in my inbox from people. And I thought to myself how Jesus prayed on the cross, you know, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I'm not Jesus, but it helped me to understand that people, they honestly don't understand what's about to come their way. They don't understand it. And that's what I'm trying to do, is to warn them. I'm trying to warn both sides, not just what our so-called side, those of us that see things alike, that are believers in Jesus, people who love this country. I want to warn them, because they're, again, on this very big ship with us. And if it goes down, they will go down too. And so, Jennifer, let me encourage you as a young mother. This is the thing I don't want to do, is to scare you. It's hard for me to find that balance. If you know Jesus, you're going to be okay, kiddo, because he's going to give us strength to take whatever comes. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.